In the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Our Father, tonight, as we look in here in the Gospel of Mark, Father, we look at why Jesus was even there in the first place. I'm praying tonight that you will move in our service this evening and help us from your word. Lord, we know how much we need you. We know how important it is, Father, to get in your word daily. We know how important it is in our spiritual life to pray and ask for help in every situation. I'm praying tonight that you will minister to us as we get in your word. I pray for our teenagers, God, that you would anoint them with a spirit-filled service. God bless Pastor Johnny as he preaches to the teens. God, may he speak powerfully, and may your spirit bear witness to the truth that is delivered. And I heard the kids shouting and hollering a while ago because of their excitement to be in church and all that is planned for this evening in Awana. Lord, I pray that you'll bless those children. Bless them as they get in your word and memorize scripture and Father, repeat it there to their teachers and everything that goes on with them. I'm praying, Father, for a spirit-filled time. Lord, I'm asking you to do a work there that will not only last for eternity, but will help them get through their daily life as they grow older. And then I'm praying for those who are discipling tonight. There are many going through discipleship, and Lord, we pray that you'll minister to each of those situations. Lord, that one-on-one time, that there are conversations that are had that draws each other not only to encourage each other, but it draws one another to their relationship with you. Praying, Father, that growth happens both in knowledge and in the spirit. And Lord, that your will would be done in every situation. We thank you, Lord, for the hundreds of people here on the campus tonight. Bless them mightily, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What if you went to the doctor tomorrow, this week, or maybe this month, and suddenly you understood very clearly there was a limit to your mortality, that your days were numbered, and that you had to get some things in order? None of us expect that, but it could happen very quickly. How would that change your life? How would that impact you the next day? You can Google that question, and you're going to get a lot of articles. You're going to get some sermons. You're going to get a lot of people's ideas and their thoughts of what would they do if they knew their life would soon be over. Jesus, in Mark chapter 15, was facing the final night of his life in the flesh. He wasn't facing cancer. He wasn't nearing a heart attack. Brandon, he was facing a cruel, punishing death. He, being God, knew what was coming. He knew that the challenges that he would face. And because of that, his reaction speaks loudly. It should speak loudly to all of us. You know, if I'm facing the last moments of my life, I'm going to be very careful how I spend them. I'm going to be very careful in what I have to say to those that I love. I'm going to be very careful in the time that I spend with different people. Jesus is aware of what is coming place tomorrow. He's aware of what he is facing at that particular moment. Earlier that night in chapter 14, he was in the garden. And he was praying unto the Father that if it were possible, that he would let this hour pass from him. Yet he willingly submitted himself to the Father's will. And now, as we just read in our text, he's standing before Pilate. He's standing before the chief priests and all of his accusers, facing punishment for crimes he had not committed, and would also suffer public ridicule that he did not deserve. And in the midst of all of that, we discover from his final moments leading up to the cross, five reasons of why he was even there in the first place. The first one I want us to look in verse number 2. Let's go back to verse 2 of Mark 15 and let's read that again. There Pilate asked him a question. He says, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." That's why the chief priests had him delivered to Pilate. He was claiming himself as king of the Jews. He was claiming himself to be the Son of God. They thought of this as blasphemous accusations. And so Pilate wants to know from Jesus' own lips, and he asks the question, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" But Jesus wasn't there to proclaim himself as the king of the Jews. Jesus was there to proclaim himself as the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, in verse number 29, the Bible says, "The next day, John," who being John the Baptist, "he seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said it publicly, so that his disciples could hear. He said, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" Everyone within earshot of that moment knew how significant a lamb was. Every year, they would present their own lamb for their sin offering. Because without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And they would present the best lamb that they had and give it into the high priest. And he would shed that blood and offer that sin to cover their sin. But they would have to do it on a normal basis. John, when he saw Jesus, he proclaimed him not as the Lamb of the people. He proclaimed him as the Lamb of God. One that would not only cover the sin, but one that would take away the sin of the world. The Jews in that day, they were looking for their Messiah. They still are. They're looking for their Messiah to come set up his kingdom and overthrow all those who oppose Israel. As we've studied the book of Acts in chapter 1, even after Jesus had been resurrected and just prior to his ascension into heaven, they were still looking for Christ to set up that earthly kingdom. And surely that day will certainly come. But for now, Jesus came to offer more than physical liberty. What he came was, it was more than just to overthrow the Roman rule. He came to offer a spiritual freedom, not only to the Jews, but unto all the world, that nothing could ever take away. Because of that, he was and is more than just a king, although Cecil, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Jesus is more than just a king. To us, he's also a Savior. And he's a Savior because when he came, he didn't just come and say, well, I'm going to take care of you, Pilate, and I'm going to overthrow your rule, and I'm going to set up a government here. He submitted himself quietly as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Then we see in verses 3 through 5, let's go there and find the second reason tonight. In verse 3, the Bible says, and the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Just sat there quietly. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 7, the prophet speaks of the cruel suffering of the prophet. And he says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Amos, we can be accused many times, and our instant reaction will always be to defend ourselves. People can, especially when they're offering lies. The last thing you want to do when people are standing there lying about you, the last thing that we want to do is to sit there and be quiet. To just let them say what they're going to say. But Jesus did not stand there before his accusers to proclaim his innocence. He was there to present his life for the ungodly. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, the scriptures say, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Liz, he could have stood there and he could have proclaimed his own innocence. But instead, he looked at our guilt. And rather than sit there and proclaim his innocence and why he should be delivered, He considered our guilt and our shame. And so that when we were without Christ, when we were nothing, when we were nobody, and when we were sinners doomed for hell, Christ died for us. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, hold your place in Mark, and turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to look there in verse 21 with me. Jesus wasn't there to prove his righteousness either. He was there to make us righteous. Pilate heard all the accusations, and he looked at Jesus. He says, "Do you have nothing to say?" And Jesus had nothing to say. He said, "Do you not hear all of these accusations, everything, all the witnesses and what they have to say against you?" And Jesus just answered nothing. He did that because in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Thomas, our righteousness is filthy rags. Our righteousness is nothing to brag about. We like to brag about ourselves, but we have nothing to brag about before God. We like to proclaim our goodness and highlight the good things that we have done, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, we are woefully unrighteous. And at that moment, Pilate said, "Do you not hear all of the accusations that they are offering? Do you not hear what these witnesses have to say?" And the Bible clearly says that these witnesses are lying. They're just making up stuff about Jesus. He said, "Do you not hear what they have to say?" And he just sits there quietly. Because he wasn't there to proclaim his own innocence or his own righteousness. He was there to give his life for you and me. If you go back to Mark chapter 15, why was he there? Well, let's look in verse number 6, and we'll read down to verse number 9. Why was Jesus even there? Why didn't he just do whatever he wanted and get himself out of that situation? In verse 6, "Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" How about Pilate had been warned by his wife to have nothing to do with this innocent man. Pilate was listening to him, and even in Christ's silence, a godless man like Pilate looked at Jesus and he just marveled. He wasn't marveling at all the things that people had said that he'd done wrong. He was marveling because he just sat there with a peaceful look on his face. He sat there in silence and he marveled at that. And Pilate was looking for a way to get out of this. And so the people, they begin to say, you know, "Will you release..." And he asked the question, he said, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Surely the people will select Christ. But that's not how it played out. Because he wasn't there to be set free. Jesus was there to make men free. Pilate couldn't find any fault with him. He wanted to release him, but Jesus knew his purpose. It wasn't to be declared innocent. It wasn't to go on his own free will and leave. It was for him to be in that particular place at that particular time. Turn a couple of books to your right in Mark. Go past Luke into John, Gospel of John in chapter number 18. I want you to begin reading with me in verse 33. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? A few years ago when I was in Israel, I stood in that judgment hall and I read these scriptures out loud. Pilate goes in there and he says, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What did you do? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto him, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate wanted to know, what have you done? Your own people have delivered you unto me. What did you do? What have you done? And he asked them, he says, Are you a king? And Jesus just came, and Beverly, he just made it plain. He says, Listen, to this end, for this purpose was I born. This is why I came into the world. One day, Ronnie, the Lord will come again, and then he will rule as King of Kings. But when he first came, he came for one purpose. He came for one purpose. Jesus proclaimed that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Everyone who would believe on him would be changed forever. You're in John 18. Go back to John chapter 8 and look with me in verse 28. It was in John 14 where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus proclaimed himself as that. There are many in the world today who say that there are many ways to get to heaven. Well, Jesus says there's only one way. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. And the lifting up is him going to the cross. And in verse 29, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus wasn't there just to be set free. Jesus was there to make us free. If you go back to Mark chapter 15, why was he there? Look with me in verse number 10. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. That's a key point. Pilate recognized this. Even amongst all the lying witnesses, Pilate could see they just delivered him for envy. They didn't like him. They didn't like him. They didn't like the fact that he had a crowd. They didn't like the fact that he was drawing people into himself. It's funny how we still do that, don't we? We don't like people who are drawing a crowd. We don't like people who are liked by others. And in verse number 11, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. He had just offered. He says, Will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Because he knew that the only reason they really delivered him was for envy. But the chief priests, man, they got amongst the people and they convinced the people that they would rather have Barabbas rather than Jesus. And Pilate answered in verse 12 and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call King of the Jews? It would be understandable if Jesus would have suddenly just decided to wreak vengeance upon all of his accusers, but that's not why he was there. He was there, instead of offering vengeance, he was there to offer forgiveness. We're always quick to react. We want to get back at the other person. We want to get them back, not Jesus. Jesus wanted to offer forgiveness to anyone who would receive it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, I love Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love that verse. Because the Lord didn't command for us to come to his level before he loved us. He died for us when we were lowly and had no hope. You're there in Mark. If you go to the right, you got Luke and John. Go one more book to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13 verse 1, Paul and Barnabas were called by the Holy Spirit out of the church, and they were to go forth, and they became missionaries. They became church planters and throughout that region. And they get to Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13. And they go into the synagogue. And after the chief priests get through speaking, it was customary, as we often saw with Jesus, if you had a visiting teacher, that you would give him an opportunity to have something to say. Jesus often was given that opportunity in the Gospels when he was in the synagogue. And so in Acts 13, they gave Paul an opportunity to speak. Paul, being the preacher that he was, he just began to preach. Look with me in verse 26 of Acts 13. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. That's his introduction. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, the cross, and laid him in a sepulcher, the tomb. But verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. Aren't you thankful for that? Go down to verse 38. He continues his message. He goes back to David. He's offering up scriptural references to prove what he's saying. And he gets to verse 38 and he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You want forgiveness with God? It only comes through Jesus, right? It never comes from an individual who is going to just start doing better. Never comes from us living a better life or start earning our way. It never comes that way. That is what Paul is speaking here. If you want forgiveness of sins, it can only come through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And when Jesus died, the story did not end. They placed him in the tomb thinking that now they're rid of him forever. But that stone rolled away. And he was raised again, and that is the definition of the gospel. And wherever the gospel is preached, Michael, wherever the gospel is preached, man, women, children have the opportunity to receive forgiveness of sins. Jesus wasn't there to get vengeance. He was there standing before Pilate and his accusers because he was wanted to offer forgiveness to the world. And finally, go back to Mark 15 and look with me in verses 14 and 15 of our text. Why was he there? Then Pilate said unto them, those who were yelling out, crucify him, those who preferred to have Barabbas over Christ, and those who were yelling the words, just send him away, crucify him. And Pilate, he says, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And the whole mob began to chant, crucify him, crucify him. And so Pilate, he hears all of this. And the one who says, I find in him no fault at all, the one who is warned by his wife, had nothing to do with this innocent man, the one who his own conscience marveled at him and could find nothing wrong, listening to that people, that mob of people yelling, crucify him. Verse 15 says, because he was willing to content the people, he released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. He gave the people what they wanted. And when he had scourged him, he was delivered to be crucified. You see, he wasn't there to save his life. He was there to save others. Pilate would have let him go if Christ would have only given him a reason to be set free. Why, don't you have anything to say? Will you not respond? Are you a king? Well, he's questioning him. If Jesus could have just given him a reason, he would have set him free. Instead, he gave the people what they wanted. And Christ gave us all what we needed. Same chapter, look down to verse 24. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them that every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him. They mocked him. They cursed him. They were wagging their heads, and they were saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Cody? When it took nothing for Jesus to come off that cross. Mocking. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. It would have took nothing for him to come off. He could have proved it. He could have proved his point. He could have done that. But Jesus was fulfilling the scripture. He was fulfilling God's plan. He asked in the garden, would you let this cup pass? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He submitted himself to God's authority. He submitted himself to God's plan and God's will. And instead of saving himself, he allowed himself to be crucified. And he died upon that cross to save everyone who would believe him. The two who were crucified beside him, it says at the end of verse 32, that they reviled him. Of course, one of them would change their mind and would dwell in paradise with Christ before the sunset. Called over to him, Lord, rememberest me when thou enterest in thy kingdom. And the one on the other side mocked him. The one on the other side was mocking Jesus, and he says, save yourself and save us. And his companion said, do you not fear God? We deserve this punishment. We deserve to be here, but this man's done nothing wrong. Remember me when thou enterest in thy kingdom. What did Jesus say? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. When he went to that cross, he was cursing Christ. He was mocking Christ just like everyone else. But he recognized Jesus wasn't there to save himself. Jesus was there to save him. Everyone who places their faith in a Christ who is there to take upon himself our sins upon the cross, offering us eternal forgiveness, replace our filthy rags of unrighteousness with his holy righteousness, and enable us to one day dwell in his presence forever. That's why he was there. That's why he was there. That's why he was there. What's today? What's today? The 3rd of what? Of November. What's special about November? What? Thanksgiving, right? How can we not read Mark chapter 15 and not be thankful? How can we read Mark 15 and see all the things that Jesus could have done? He could have proclaimed himself right then as King of Kings. But instead, he offered himself as a lamb for our sins. He could have declared his own innocence. But instead, he chose to die for us who are ungodly. He could have spoken up so that he could be set free. But instead, he went to that cross so he could make us free. He was there to offer forgiveness. He was there not to save himself, but to save us. Miss Anita, he was there for you and he was there for me. Right? So much reason to give thanks. Therefore, we got a reason to praise the Lord, don't we? Our Father in heaven tonight, we thank you for your goodness. We look at Mark chapter 15, and Pilate could not understand why Jesus was even standing before him. He recognized that he was delivered because of the religious crowd's envy. He recognized that there were a lot of accusations that he could see right through, know that they were lies. He marveled at this man and how he did not defend himself. Instead, he left everything up to God's will. Pilate could not understand why he was there. He sought every opportunity he could to release him. He proclaimed, I have found no fault in this man. He even washed his hands clean of the matter. But thankfully tonight, we know why he was there. We were guilty and he saw us. And he knew how we could be made innocent. There was a sin that we had to pay for, but he knew we couldn't, so he became the lamb and paid for it himself. There's no way we could ever make ourselves free from sin. The debt that we owed, the chains that held us down, could never be released, but he did make us free. Lord, we thank you for who Jesus is, and we thank you that Jesus suffered. We often wonder, what would we do in the last moments of our life? Our Savior gave no thought of himself. He thought of us. And for that we give thanks. And we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Let's take out your prayer bulletins, if you would, please, tonight.